Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Well, I am surrounded by greatness here today. I not only have one, but I have two members of the State House of Representatives. One of those is very well known to everybody that listens to RHI. His name is Tommy Pope. He's district number 47. But he managed to get in here. How long did it take you to do this, Tommy, to bring this enigma that we have not had on the program here?
I told him I'd buy him lunch. That's why you got Dennis Moss here today.
Dennis Moss, who, of course, represents district number 29. Dennis, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Now, first of all, number 29 incorporates what area of York County?
Western York County. It's changed since I've been elected. It's changed twice. Every 10 years, they redistrict. But it's kind of moved a little bit that I have Smyrna, Hickory Grove, Sharon, McConnell's, Brattonville area, and the lower part, the western outside part of York. I used to go downtown York, but the last redistricting kind of took me out of that. So I kind of go number 5 down Sutton Road, down that way.
Dennis and I are adjacent, so after the last redistricting, we both share like York County over to the county line, over all the way to Cherokee. So we're glad to say we're the western side representative.
We have the good part of the county.
Now, so the bulk of your district is Cherokee County?
Yes, sir.
Which, I mean, but you share Cherokee County with another?
With another representative, House District 30. District 29 and 30 incorporate Cherokee County.
So is your entire district rural, or do you have
for the most part.
You don't have an urbanized part of the...
I have downtown Gaffney.
Right.
But then I have the rural south side of Gaffney, Cherokee County.
Right.
So I come out of York County, the lower kind of 85, the southern part of the below 85 toward Union County, and then I go into Spartanburg County under the last redistricting, which includes Packlet and Cowpens. So those are small municipalities, but you call them rural.
All right, so what we normally do on Straight Talk is we love to get our newbies, and you're a newbie, to tell us a little bit about themselves. Besides your district, tell us about Dennis Moss.
Well, I've been married 45 years this past June to the same lady.
She made him get that in. Jan wanted to make sure he said that, she wasn't going to let him come over here.
But My background is that I'm from Union, South Carolina. I'm not from Gaffney. Obviously, you can't be from any of the three counties I represent or all of them. So I grew up in Union County in 1975. At a young age of 21, I went on the highway patrol, was transferred to my first patrol assignment with Marlboro County. And in 1986, I got promoted and transferred to Cherokee. That's how I ended up in Cherokee County. So
you're a state highway patrolman.
I'm a retired state trooper.
And how many years were you with them?
A little over 25.
25 years.
I retired June 30, 2001. So this past June 30, I've been retired 22 years. And I've got elected in 06, 07. So I've been there since. I'm starting my 18th year in January.
Now, you have the distinction, I think this is right, of serving on the Ways and Means Committee.
I currently reside on the Ways and Means Committee, and I'm chairman of Provisos.
Which means what?
It's the directions on how the money is spent that's appropriated, like tell agencies how they can spend their money so forth and so on.
So if they get, like Winthrop University, let's say they got whatever, so many millions of dollars to do X, Y, and Z. You detail what X, Y, and Z is.
That's correct.
And a proviso only lasts 1 year. It has the force of law, but only for a 1 year period. So sometimes some of the things Dennis and I've worked on together, like the return to work for law enforcement with the retired officers, if you can't get the bill passed through, we'll do kind of year to year provisos to try to help, you know, direct something like that, direct the retirement system to treat things a certain way. So it's a lot more detailed than just the money they are allocating. It's also involves basically legislative directives that you can give for a 1 year stint.
So when an appropriation is made through legislation in the budget, do they have 1 year to spend it, or do they give them 2 or 3 years for some big projects to get them done? How does that work?
Well, the big projects, yes, they have multiple years to do them. But basically, we're on a one-year budget.
Right.
And it's like Representative Pope said. And Tommy had the distinction of being Speaker Pro Tem. So he's really involved in the process and helps oversee some of these things. Because he kind of serves on all the committees, or he hops in and out. So he's not designated to a certain committee, but he comes in and sits in on Ways and Means, so he really knows what's going on and is a part of it.
I'll give you an example before this becomes too much of a love fest between Dennis and I, but I really do I do appreciate Dennis. You know, we've worked for years to try to do something for the FFA and the kids, you know, with the agritourism stuff, the things you and I have talked about many times before. And Dennis was able over the last period of years to earmark some money each time for York and Clover school districts, and they're going to be able to build a facility out near Hickory Grove. And, you know, it's kind of a public partnership with the school districts, but that was something that he wasn't able to do all in one big bite, but he was able to get some money one time to kind of get them started, some extra money the next time, and you know, he deserves a lot of credit for that.
So if there is a need, let's say, in the York County delegation, you probably go straight to him and say, how best to do this? How do I get this money into the system so it happens?
Yes, you know, well, in the old days, we laugh, you know, we just let Semrel handle it. You know, we were joking off the air that, you know, Semrel was giving us fish and cleaning the bigger fish for Rock Hill. So Dennis and I have been working a little harder on the western side. But Dennis is, you know, when the change and Gary left, Dennis is our one member of the York County delegation that's on Ways and Means. So that's very important. And, you know, they've gotten more transparent, which I think is a good thing, in that they have us list the earmarks or, you know, request out. And what I do, sit down with York, sit down with Clover, say, tell me what you need, and then we'll get it into the system because the budget starts in the House, and then we'll work together to try to make it get it done.
So, Dennis, what's the biggest issue that your district is facing that you've been working on?
The district?
Yeah.
Well, I've helped Sharon this year with some money for their infrastructure, water tanks, their water system.
Right.
So some of the rural areas. But it's kind of bigger. I say I'm in the position now that I try to help everybody.
Sure.
We've done some things this year in the budget for Fort Mill that's not in my district. So I try to represent my people. I've done some things for Cowpens, for Hickory Grove and Smyrna.
Clover Fire
Department.
We've done
some stuff for Clover Fire Department. I have 13 volunteer fire departments in my area, which they don't get subsidized much.
Right.
They have to have fundraisers, sell tickets, raffle tickets, have tractor shows. These people really raise a lot of money to provide the service. And if the citizens had to pay for this service outright in their taxes, I mean, we all complain about high taxes, but it would be astronomical.
Well, there's many fire districts that have special taxing districts to help supplement what comes in from the county or the state or whatever.
That's right.
Because the price of a new piece of equipment is crazy.
It sure is.
Just to outfit a fireman with what they have is thousands of dollars.
Well, that's what he helped us do over in Clover was with turnout gear. And actually, we were fortunate. I don't think if Dennis wasn't on Ways and Means, that wouldn't have happened because the process had already been moving along when the chief came to us and pointed out that need. And we were able kind of to get that one in at the 11th hour. But, you know, another thing, too, a lot of these requests will be one-time money. You used the example, you know, like turnout, I mean, a fire equipment or something.
Yep.
Something they could never have that big bucket of money to do, but we're able to help from the state standpoint, you know, one-time things, not necessarily recurring things.
And I've often wondered how those that figure out what money we're going to get, how they actually do that, and how good is their, quote, guess, unquote, going to be, so that you base your whole budget on this thing, and by golly, it better be there, or you got to dip into your reserves to cover it.
Well, by the definition of the Constitution, we start the budget in the House. So we start in January. Now, we'll start meeting with agencies in November, some of the Ways and Means Subcommittee. So our main job that we're elected is the budget.
Right.
I mean, that we got to fund state agencies. That's kind of our backbone of what we do. The other stuff we do is just add-ons. But we got to fund government, do the basic core functions of government. But the House has to start it. So we kind of go on projections of that. We got a economic review team that kind of tells us, and they estimate the sales tax, the income tax, everything coming through quarterly. And then the big thing is in April when everybody files their income tax. Well, we have to give the Senate to the budget by March the 30th, by April 1. They get the budget. So we've been working on it for our first 3 months of session. So we're going on projections of what we think's going to be there. And usually they're pretty accurate, but we kind of lowball it some. We don't want to overspend.
Oh, I got you.
So then when the Senate gets it, and they go through the same process with state agencies, and normally they have a better idea because April 15, when everybody files, you kind of got a real number of what's coming and going.
And then you roll into that,
right?
What you all did last year or the year before, I've forgotten which one, where you actually changed the tax tables to give money back to the taxpayers.
That's correct.
I'm just wondering what all those people who are guessing what the money's going to be.
They call it the BEA. That's why they're in charge of doing the estimates and have the bean counters. Another thing, as Dennis mentioned, constitutionally, you know, in South Carolina, we have to balance our budget.
What a novel idea.
Isn't that a great thing?
You know? God almighty.
Luckily, we're handcuffed into doing that.
Good.
Which I think is a wonderful thing. And so it makes those numbers be even more important. And, you know, and so even like if we have a budget debate on the floor and you wanted to add something or something, you've got to show where it's coming from, where it's going, because, you know, whether our budget process takes a handful of days or a whole week in through the nights, when we get through, they literally have to have that same agency certify that our budget is balanced before it ever leaves the House to start with.
Right.
And, you know, that's when they shout that out, that's a big cheer for everybody because, you know, all your work hadn't been in vain at that point.
So how much does the overall growth of South Carolina, which we're really feeling here in York County, how big is the growth issue for your district, Dennis?
My district grew approximately 5,000 people in the last 10 years. And that's why I kind of moved. Of course, we added another new district in Tega K this year. The redistricting before, we added the new district in Fort Mill, which was Representative Ray Felder's district. This year, Representative David O'Neill got the Tega K seat. So York County is busting at the seams. I mean, the last two censuses, we've had to add a seat, which is 43,000 plus, around 43 to 45,000 people in a House district. So in the last 20 years, we've added two seats in York County. So that kind of pushes me westward more. So that's how I kind of got into Spartanburg. There was some debate about whether the new district was going to be in Greer or Tega K.
Right.
So it kind of fell that they thought it needed to be here. Now, mind you, the next census, which is not that far away. I mean, we're talking about a 2024 election coming up. In 6 years, it'll be time to start talking about redistricting again. And it seemed like we just finished it. As a matter of fact, some of it's still in court, the congressional seats and so forth. So
it might be because we're all old, Dennis. Yeah, it does seem to go, just like Mama said, it's going quicker every year.
But in six years after this election, we'll be looking at redrawing the lines.
And so, it pushed us all west. So, I used to have Lake Wylie. I'm pushed more to Clover and the county line we were talking. So we all kind of migrated west.
Yeah. We must be getting closer to having a second senator for York County with all this growth, wouldn't you think?
I would say so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which would be interesting.
Well, you got one last year.
A full senator.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is Senator Johnson, that seat used to be in Lancaster.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
So you technically got another resident senator out of that.
That's true. Very
true. And so you got one then.
Okay.
So.
Dennis said you're not going to get it from the Cherokee side because Harvey isn't going anywhere.
That's exactly
well,
right.
Hardy, Senator Peeler is chairman of Senate Finance, and that's part of the upstate, and he's part of York County, and we'd love to keep him for a while.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Do. Amen. And with that, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. All right, Dennis, we teed you up as to how this works. We're here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. We make fresh subs and salads 6 days a week between 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. There's a magical formula that you obviously don't know about yet, but you're going to learn because you're going to help us tell everybody. At the count of three, what is it? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hey, Alex, the turkey and ham at Substation 2 seem really popular.
Absolutely. They're all natural meats, no nitrates or added ingredients, 98% fat-free, only the best turkey and ham for salads and subs.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden. Substation 2, Jared Road across from Winthrop, now serving Diet Dr. Pepper.
Emergency care close to home. The team at Piedmont Medical Center has the advanced training to handle your medical emergencies, and we're making it easier for you to access care every day. For non-life-threatening problems, online ER check-in is available at all our emergency room locations, meaning less waiting room time, more peace of mind. Simply visit PiedmontMedicalCenter.com, pick a time you want to be seen, and then wait at home while we hold your place. For life-threatening emergencies, call 911. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Comporium is making free internet a reality, and you may qualify. Through Comporium's Connected Internet program, reliable internet, essential for work, school, and staying connected with friends and family, is possible to qualifying households at no charge. Comporium is pleased to give more people access to everything the internet has to offer through our Connected Internet program, subsidized by the federal government. To find out if you qualify for free internet, please visit comporium.link/ACP.
Investing can be like a puzzle. There are so many pieces to consider, and it can be hard to know where to start. But with the right guidance, you can put the pieces together to create a winning strategy. That's where Founders Investment Services comes in. Our team of financial advisors can help you navigate the complexities of investing and create a personalized plan that fits your goals and risk tolerance. We'll work with you to identify the pieces of your puzzle and how they fit into your financial future. Call 866-739-7064 or visit foundersfcuinvestments.com to learn more about how we can help you take the first step towards reaching your financial goals. Securities offered through LPL Financial.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Slice, slice, slice! Yard.
It's the only way that Substation 2 makes fresh subs and salads. All their meats, cheeses, and vegetables are sliced fresh right before your eyes. It's no wonder people keep coming back to Substation 2.
Slice! Yard.
Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Very pleased to have with us from House District Number 29, State Representative Dennis Moss and his buddy, Tommy Pope, from House Representative Number 47. Guys, thank you for being here again. Now, Dennis, tell us about some of the things that you've been working on, because I know that we've been kind of rambling about the ways and means, and we can ramble about that all afternoon, but specifically, what have you been working on this past session?
Well, the House as a whole, this past session, we repealed the CON, the Certificate of Need for Health Care. That was signed into law. Protecting Life, which the Supreme Court just ruled on yesterday, the
sure
heartbeat
did.
Bill.
Yep.
So we were excited about that. Promoting workforce development, expanding school choice. York County is really, really fortunate that they got great, outstanding schools. I just wish every school in South Carolina was like York County. I mean, it's just phenomenal how good the public schools are. But they're not like that everywhere.
Well, it goes hand in hand with what's going on with the local economy.
Exactly. And you, back when you start asking of my background, that's why I put in for the promotion in Cherokee County. My son was 4 years old. I was in Marlboro County, and there was one private school. And back in the day, in the 70s, I couldn't afford to pay the private school. So I had to convince my wife, who was from Marlboro County,
oh boy,
that we need to move to the upstate to get in a better school district.
Yeah.
And so just so happened that was the Cherokee County had an opening. And I put in for it and was lucky to get it. So that's why I moved back to the upstate. But everybody can't move to a better school district.
Especially,
it was just fortunate that the Lord blessed me that way, that it fell in place for me. But that's how I ended up in Cherokee County. I was searching for a better school district. So that's why expanding school choice and options, it's just availability, and you provide the transportation that you can kind of cross county lines.
So, now, go ahead.
I was just going to say, he put all that support into that child, raised him in a way he should go, and then he fell off the wagon and became a sled agent. So kind of like Elbert told me, do anything but be in law enforcement. And Dennis raised a child to be something, darn fit in the police just like the rest of us.
Well, you've brought up an interesting topic. South Carolina has always nationally not had a good reputation for its public education.
Right.
And when you look at how rural a lot of our state is, without the tax base there to support that, you know, it's just not going to happen. And there was a great big court case that, you know, the Supreme Court basically threw back to the legislature and said, you guys figure it out. And the only solution, I gather, is what you're talking about, which is school choice. If your school system is not cutting it, we're going to give you the opportunity to move that child over to a place where they can get the education. Would you agree?
Totally.
All right. Okay.
Another big item that we started working on and will continue working on is restructuring DHEC. We get more complaints about the Department of Health and Environmental Control. So it's just a big, big agency. And hopefully we can divide that up so there'll be better oversight, such as septic tank permits. I mean, in the western part that I represent, it's just ridiculous for somebody to buy some land and get a septic tank. It's ridiculous what they have to go through.
So have you really, by doing this, do you think you really have reduced the overall size of DHEC?
No, I think ultimately it's most of it is focused on trying to have them be more effective. I mean, you know, you and I talked previously, you know, with some of the development over in, you know, around Clover and York, and some of the problems the existing neighbors were having with silt and runoff. And, you know, I tried to meet with DHEC, and I was surprised to find out for our whole area, not just York County, there were only like two employees trying to handle that whole issue. And, they could have literally just worked that one little subdivision over in Clover with the issues we were running into with the citizens. So I'm hoping it'll make DHEC more nimble. We actually did something on the septic tank this time to allow DHEC to approve the installers to do the kind of the same work that is being backlogged, you know, by waiting on a DHEC employee. You know how they'll go and they'll dig the holes to, you know, see if it's going to perk and all those kind of things. We're trying to do some stuff because it hamstrings, you know, particularly young people starting their first home, got a little piece of land, and they can't get it going. So hopefully it'll help. But, you know, just the problem anytime you it's kind of like the argument we always have about school districts, you know, the four school districts. You'll never change that in York County because we got good schools, but you think you got four superintendents of transportation, four superintendents here, and you know, and so there's going to be some redundancy, but if it'll make it more responsive to the citizens, hopefully it'll be worth it.
So how do you go about separating the Siamese twins? I mean, this is going to be a monstrous job.
Well, we currently have three agencies that control our water. So we're going to try to put all that under one agency. Water.
Right.
In the rural area, we have farmers. DHEC, Farm Bureau, Clemson, DNR, all of them have a stake in the water. So right now, it's kind of divvied up amongst three agencies. Right. So it's just some overlap there that we're trying to get a control on. And that's a tug of war about who wants to be in charge of it.
Well, I'm sure. Well, I was glad to see that you made Clemson and USC finally happy. Clemson's got his veterinarian school now. But you had to give something to USC, didn't you?
That was a trade-off, I understand. There are winners and losers sometimes.
Oh, jeez. What else, Dennis?
Another big thing we did, we're trying to shut the revolving door of criminals, career criminals. So we've acted on that.
Fentanyl bill, thank you very much.
We did fentanyl, some law enforcement things. We did the bond reform. And is the bond reform still in the Senate?
Yes.
Yeah, and so we passed that. But fentanyl, you know, the governor signed. We're hoping to loop back around and work on, and you and I have discussed this with Solicitor Brackett, the drug court aspect. You know, during the debate on fentanyl, one of the big things was, well, what about the users? What, you know, because that's who's losing their lives, you know.
Yep.
And so there may be some things we can do to reform the system to address some of that, and I think that'd be a positive for our communities as a whole.
What about, since you're on Ways and Means, what about the whole pay issue, money for state troopers and people who are running the prisons? Was that adjusted at all?
Yes. The last two cycles, the last 2 years, law enforcement has gotten a big boost.
But is it enough?
It's a lot better than it was, and they are happy for now. And it's like I told them, in 6 months they're going to forget they got a pay raise, and they'll come back for more. But the teachers and law enforcement have gotten a big boost in the last two election cycles.
Well, the bottom line is, if we don't have enough teachers and don't have enough law enforcement, then we got problems.
Exactly.
And well, when you keep bringing these industries in that you're bringing in that are paying what they're paying, yeah.
Well, it goes back to what we started in the beginning, the core functions of government. So that's really the basis of what we're designed to do.
You know, it used to be, too, for teachers, law enforcement, it was a calling. You know, we laugh about getting blue lights in your blood. You know, the reason you'd want to go do it. Well, the way the world's changed and the disrespect for teachers, the disrespect for law enforcement, you don't have people. That's why I was teasing about Dennis's son. You know, you don't have people aspiring to be in law enforcement or be teachers anymore, right. You know, because of the low pay and the disrespect. And so we've got to shore it up somehow or another.
Well, gentlemen, I can't believe the half hour is already gone, but it has. Dennis, thanks for being here. I hope you'll come back more often.
If I'm invited, I'll come back.
And you could come by yourself without Tommy.
we're a team.
All right.
Our district's butt up together, and our officers are beside us.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relax here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Now, Dennis, you did such a good job, we're going to do it one more time. We're going to tell everybody what the heck goes on here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, 6 days a week, fresh subs, fresh salads, the way we do it at the count of three. Everybody ready? One, two, three.
Slice, 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 slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day, and we'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.
Thank you.